We are back. It's the pods. And you know what? It's been a tough few weeks in the hockey world. And we're excited to actually have Leaf games to cover again because, you know, for a while there, they just kept getting postponed. And, you know, that's no fun for us, no fun for the players, no fun for anybody. And we're just, you know, happy to be back. So we're going to touch on how the Leafs are playing going into this little hiatus. And then we'll touch about how they've done after that. And in between, we'll be talking about the very brief World Juniors and Team Canada, and then a little bit about the Olympics that aren't going to be happening with NHL players, which, you know, basically means the Olympics aren't going to happen. So Kian, how do you think the Buds played coming in?
I mean, coming in, they were buzzing. I mean, they were kind of in a weird spot before the break. It seemed like they were figuring it out. But you know, there were some iffy games in there that they probably deserved to lose to Columbus and Chicago, but pulled out the wins. So, and then stomped Edmonton, came back, stomped Ottawa, came back, you know, beat Edmonton again. And then last night,
we'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, before the break, you know, Tampa tagged us back, which, I mean, you can't be all that upset about. But yeah, I don't think they had any business winning the Columbus game or the Chicago game, but they did. So that's a sign of a good team. You're pulling out these wins where you don't deserve to win, and then you just stomped Edmonton without Zach Hyman. And then everything else was postponed. So yeah, it's been almost a month.
We had 2 weeks of postponements.
Yeah, it was insane. And then, you know, Christmas holidays and all that fun stuff.
Like the fact that like we had the World Juniors get canceled and we had all postponed Leafs games at the same time.
It was like three episodes for us that were just, nope, not going to happen. Because I was looking forward to doing an episode dedicated to the World Juniors like we did last year, but it took it away from us. We got, what, two games?
Yeah, two games.
They were good games.
They were good games, but against inferior competition.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, let's talk about the World Juniors. Kian, who was your standout player for those two games?
I mean, I think for me, it was unquestionably Connor Bedard, just being a 16-year-old doing that in a 19-year-old tournament, doing something that hasn't been done since the Great One. Anytime you're in a conversation with the Great One, you're doing something very, very special. So, yeah, Connor Bedard. I mean, big shout out to Mason McTavish, but Connor Bedard is easily the standout for me. He's clearly set himself as the number one overall pick in 2023, I think, or 2024, when his draft is 23 or 24.
Well, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree. And I think it's Owen Power, man. Owen Power showed his power.
Owen Powerful?
Well, I just think the fact that he got a hat trick as a defenseman is wild. Like, that never happens.
Yeah, and they were nice goals, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like some beauties there. So looks like Buffalo is going to have a real good player in him.
Now, if they could only find a goalie and now in a first line center, they might get out of the basement.
What do you mean? They got Alex Tuck.
Whoop-de-doo, Basil. Like, what? Alex Tuck? What is this? Fucking the 2013 Maple Leafs of Tyler Bozak? Like,
kinda. I can't believe that trade.
I can't believe they got so little back. I mean, Alex Tuck is good, but he's not Jack Eichel good.
No, I think there was another pick and maybe like a prospect in there.
Yeah, but Vegas is really good. That pick is not going to be very good.
No, but you know what? It was also always curious about Owen Power because he was the first overall pick and one of the few who didn't go straight to the NHL. And
wonder why not.
Why would you want to go play for the tire fire that is Buffalo? Like, stay in school, buddy. Stay in school. And he did. And clearly that's been working for him.
Imagine he pulled a Jimmy Vesey.
like outweighs them, and then
like finished his schooling and then went out as a free agent.
That would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious and be absolutely chaos in Buffalo. Chaos.
Oh yeah, because then you have a first overall pick just walk.
He's like doing nothing. Would you consider that worse or not as bad as the Lindros asking for a trade?
Worse, way worse.
Oh, because you just keep them on the hook for 3 years.
Exactly. It is the biggest tease. It's like, hey, look how good I am. I'm never gonna play for you though.
And it's never happened from a first overall pick. Like that would be freaking crazy. We'll see.
Yeah,
he hasn't signed a contract with them yet. Like, so I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, why would he sign a contract with them?
But I mean, you're totally right. As far as like the World Juniors is concerned, I mean, a 6'5" guy that could maneuver like that on the ice, like he's going to be a dominant force in the NHL for a long time. Like he's got a lot of Victor Hedman in him, which.
And he's Canadian.
Yeah. And Victor Hedman's another 6'5" guy who can do all that. And he was a second overall pick. So I see a lot of parallels there.
Definitely. And he was an absolute treat to watch in that game against the Czechs. And then, but that's the other thing. I'm taking Connor Bedard with a grain of salt. He played exquisite in their second game. And I was just like, it's in just a way, way worse opponent.
Yeah. But I mean, he's still 2 assists in the first game.
It's true. It's true. Like, oh, shit. Like, but 11, like, it was 11 goals were scored for fuck's sake. Like, everybody's patting the stats like that game.
But he had 4 of those goals.
It's not even half. Or, like, it's.
Like, it's. That was a crazy, crazy game.
And then the worst happened for these kids. And it sucks because a lot of these kids, like, this is the highlight of their career, and majority of them won't get this chance again because they'll age out. And well, Connor Bedard will at least. So.
Well, I guess the question then it would have become, because like the way they were doing is that they were postponing games, but like the team that had the positive test has to forfeit.
Yeah, so, and that's just not fair.
Yeah, so and a lot of the better teams were the ones forfeiting. So imagine we get to like a quarterfinal and like Canada's facing some random team.
And I don't understand why they didn't just do a bubble. You have it in the exact same location as last year.
Apparently they actually promised a bubble and then they wanted to get fans in the building.
I guess, but I mean, you could still do a bubble and have fans in the building, like, and just keep them as far away from the players as possible and have like barriers between them and the players. Like, you could make that happen so that the players and staff are in a bubble and never interact with anybody else, but still have fans in the building.
It's true. I mean,
maybe you leave the first 10 rows empty. And
personally, if I was doing a bubble and you're going to have fans, I think you should only operate the boxes and have them only people that were in the same household have be in the boxes, and then you're completely covered.
Yeah, it just seemed silly to me how we were able to have a World Juniors last year when things were way worse.
well, the whole reason they went back to Edmonton this year was because they did the bubble last year and they promised the bubble again. And then, well, one, Omicron is spreading way faster than the original variant. So that also doesn't help. That it's much easier to get a positive test now than it was back then.
Yeah, it just sucks. And you could see devastation across everybody who's involved. And that's who it sucks for. Like, the amount of effort that went into putting on this event, and like, you've already started. So like, there's no going back. And then it just gets canceled.
Yeah.
Like, you could see James Duthie on the panel, like, super, super upset. Like, and understandably so. Like, this is something they look forward to every year. And I think the most heartbreaking moment was a video of the German team going out on the ice taking pictures after the cancellation was announced. So you could tell that they're just trying to soak it in. And they know that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, and a lot of them might not ever be back.
And speaking of James Duthie, though, I think part of that as well is that this is one of Bob McKenzie's last like coverages things as well, right? And he's been working with him for what, like 30 years at this point, almost, like it's been a long time, at least 15 years, right? So like, that's a long relationship to now you're saying goodbye to, and the one event that you were like gonna be covering heavily together, because he's only on like four games this year on the NHL. So like the one event you're spending a lot of time with, you don't even get to do that. So like it's tough. Because I think you could tell that across all of TSN, all the different guys, they were like really, they were kind of bummed that they couldn't spend time talking to Bob.
Yeah. And I think they also feel for the players, where they know better than anybody.
Oh, especially guys who've been players.
Oh yeah.
Like Carlo Colaiacovo played for the World Juniors. That was the biggest moment of his career. He never played in Stanley Cup final or anything like that. Like there's lots of players like that where the World Juniors, winning a gold medal at the World Juniors is like their highlight of their career, even if they make the NHL. And these players won't get that opportunity. It's really sad.
Yeah, that's some heartbreaking stuff. But you know what? It kind of is what it is. And unfortunately, one thing led to another, which led to the NHL pulling out of the Olympics.
Yeah, what a bummer. I mean, I said it weeks ago that it was like a couple episodes ago, it was like, I mean, the likelihood of us going to Olympics is still really low with how rampant the virus is and the fact that it's in China. And like, there's already like a political abstain from the Canadian government on going to China. So like, it's just kind of a shit show. And to be honest, they should just cancel it.
I agree. Postpone it. Because right now, like subjecting players to like a 5-week quarantine if they get a positive test is incredibly harmful to the players, to all athletes, physical and mental health. Because, you know, they've been training their whole lives for this. And imagine they just get there, like just suited up, and they test positive. And now you're in quarantine for the rest of the Olympics.
And then beyond. It's not even that, it's just the Olympics are only 2 weeks long. So if the quarantine is 3 weeks longer.
Yeah. And you're stuck in a room in China. So everything you trained your whole life for just got shoved into a hotel room in China.
Yeah, like that'd be absolutely brutal. And I mean, now they're like asking World Juniors kids to go to the Olympics. Like I saw one of the Leafs prospects, Matthew Nye, got a name to Team America.
Sure Owen Power got invited.
Owen Power as well. Yeah. So like, I mean, that'll be interesting, but like, it's not going to be. I just wanted to see Crosby, McDavid, MacKinnon. Why couldn't they just let us have it? I just wanted it.
That's why we're all like, hey, you know, just postpone it. You did it for the Summer Olympics. Why can't you do it for the winter? Like, just fucking postpone it to next, like do it next January, next February, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, what else is going to get in the way?
Yeah. And if they don't, then the NHL needs to do a World Cup.
Oh, yeah. I think that needs to happen. Anyways,
yeah, I don't know why it's like been one or the other. Like, just do both. Like, people love best on best hockey, and guess what? NHL, you're making money off the World Cup. That's what doesn't make sense to me. You could have done one in 2020.
Yeah,
although given that would have been difficult with the pandemic, but the way they should have it is every 2 years there's best on best, so you have Olympics rotating with World Cup. And they each do it every 4 years, and that way you get best on best every two.
Okay, that sounds actually, I'm kind of down for that. But
right,
here's another interesting thing. Let's say that they are totally against like doing the Olympics because of the shutdown thing, so that never happens again. But they do the World Cup. But then, what if we went back to the old All-Star model and do North America versus the world?
Geez, how long ago did they do that?
I know the last time they did it, Matt Sundin was still in the league, so a long time ago.
I was going to say, I'm picturing like the old school East versus West jerseys.
Yeah, like that's early 2000s. So yeah, like that, I think they should bring that back because I think that brings a little bit of that element.
And that way you get both best Canadian and best American.
Yeah, so then you're going to have McDavid,
I mean,
Matthews, that's Crosby, McKinnon all on the same team.
And just throw in Patty Kane as well, just casually.
Yeah.
That's too good. That's OP. And... It doesn't matter. That's OP.
I think it'd still be interesting. Like, to see those two things line up.
I guess you'd be going against the likes of Ovi and Kucherov would be there for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Right, because it's everyone else, regardless of country.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like how the NBA does, like America versus everybody.
Exactly. But we could do Canada versus everybody, but
I think we'd lose that, to be honest. Canada versus everybody.
It'd be close.
Well, if you think about a Canada USA game, that's already a close battle. Now just take any shortcomings on Team USA and fill it with the best players from everywhere else.
True. Yeah.
We're fucked.
So then North America versus the world. That's fair.
Then North America is just way too powerful.
Yeah, but they have everyone else, right? Because then you take Team Sweden versus Team Canada, or well, whatever. Or Team Sweden and Finland, put them together. They're Swinland.
I mean, let's be honest. It's basically Tampa Bay with Obi.
Well, mine is Brayden Point and Stamkos.
Yeah.
They had Hedman and Vasilevsky, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it'd be still interesting. I don't know about you, but I would still be really down to see what that would look like in today's NHL.
Give them Nylander, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude, they would be really good. They'd have Kaprizov.
It'd be interesting. But then it feels like Team North America from the World Cup, and that felt a little gimmicky.
That's because it was Team North America versus a bunch of other countries. This is it's meant to be North America versus everyone else.
Yeah, but then that's
a one game, or maybe do a series.
Yeah, but then it's just like the one game. I think people prefer a tournament style.
Oh yeah, but one's a lot easier to pull off than the other.
I mean, I'd still like to see like World Cup style, but get rid of your North America and Europe team. Just do countries.
So what's your prediction? Does the Heritage Classic between Leafs and Buffalo actually happen this year?
That's a good question. I think it happens, but I can't imagine it happens with fans.
But it's what's the point then?
There is no point. What was the point of putting it in Hamilton?
Oh, I don't know. Then it's like a middle point city, I guess.
Which is stupid. Just make put it in Buffalo or put it in Toronto. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, like it's. I think it'll happen, but I think they might just do full capacity again by then.
At least it's outside.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I don't know.
Is it supposed to happen in February, right?
March. Maybe. I don't know. I really haven't paid much attention to it because nothing's going to top the Centennial Classic.
That's true. Centennial Classic is goated. Yeah, it's March 2nd. So.
Yeah, I thought it was March.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, yeah, we could be back to full buildings by then.
Could be. We'll see. Yeah, I'm being cautiously optimistic.
With how much of the population is vaccinated, I think we will.
You know what sucks? I was supposed to go to another game over
the break. Oh yeah.
It got postponed. I was supposed to go to the game on the third against Carolina. It got postponed.
But you get to keep your tickets though, right? For the postponed game.
Yeah, which means like way later in the season.
Which means you get a game at a random time, whenever. And if you get to a point where you can't go, you know, you got a guy over here, we'll definitely go to the game.
I mean, you'll be going with Morgan. Like,
well, I assume that if you couldn't go, she couldn't go.
Well, that wouldn't necessarily be the case.
Well, fine. Either way. Wouldn't be the first game I've seen with Morgan.
True enough.
All right, so should we talk about these last few Leaf games, or should we get into the last bit of sad news before we get into everything else?
Well, you know, let's talk about the sad news. So a couple days ago, some news broke out of the States, out of a high school team that a young man named Teddy Balkind unfortunately passed away during a game. And it you know, that's always tough to hear, especially like a 10th grader, like you're a child. And, you know, playing with a full face mask, and unfortunately one of those freak accidents that we have seen before, but I don't think we've seen it with somebody this young. Like, and that's when a blade gets up around your throat, and unfortunately that's what happened to Teddy. So our thoughts and prayers go out to him, his family, and his friends, his teammates, and even the other guy involved in the collision, because I can't imagine the guilt he's feeling right now. But it's really tough, and it made me think about all the times I've gone down to the States for hockey tournaments. And one thing that I found very weird was, coming from the GTHL, we had a mandatory rule for neck guards, but mouth guards were optional. And we went into the States where it was reversed.
Yeah,
mouth guards are mandatory, but neck guards are optional. And I can't help but think, I don't know if he had a neck guard on, but I can't help but think that he didn't. And maybe this could have been prevented. And I can almost guarantee you that USA Hockey is going to be implementing mandatory neck guards after this.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like, neck guards are, well, one, they're really uncomfortable. We've worn neck guards for most of our career. Like, we don't even wear neck guards now, right? But so it's like, where do you put the limit on them? But I think for kids, like, you gotta protect them.
If you're playing contact hockey, I think you need to wear a neck guard, because that's where those accidents happen. Like, for us, we're playing in a beer league. Nobody's cranking each other in the corner, falling over each other, really. So there's a lot less risk than a kid who's going full tilt into the boards with another guy. And that's where, you know, blades go up and bad things happen. And, you know, it was heartbreaking news to see this.
Yeah, I mean, you said everything perfectly there. I mean, it's really sad to see, and like, definitely a freak accident, and especially as you're trying to grow the game, to see something like that happen. And like, I really hope it doesn't scare people. And it's like, it is really much a freak accident. Like, and to the point of the neck guards, like, that was always something that was super weird about going down to the States for hockey.
Right?
It was just like, I have to go out and buy a mouth guard because I don't wear one normally, but I cannot wear the neck guard that I wear every game.
Realistically, they both should be mandatory.
Yeah, they should.
And, you know, it just sucks. And we've seen, and I mentioned in the NHL, we've seen it a couple of times. Luckily, those two gentlemen didn't pass away, but there were some horror-like events on the ice. So I can't even imagine what the kids on that ice surface saw, and how traumatizing that is.
Yeah, I can't even. Oh, that must have been graphic in the most horrible way.
Yeah, and so, you know, sticks are going out for Teddy, and rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
So anyway, that is our sad news of the week. And we're going to move on to the Leafs, but you know, the whole hockey world is mourning right now. Mm-hmm. And you've seen basically every NHL player share on social media that they're thinking of him and his family. And you love to see it because it is a tight knit community. And a lot of the players think that could have been any of us.
Absolutely. And it happened to be having this kid that young.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's tough.
Yeah. So thoughts and prayers out to the Balkan family and his teammates. And we're going to move on to our Maple Leafs, who finally got to play a game for the first time in a while. You know, after what, like 7 postponed games?
Yep.
Or 6, and then another one was postponed after this. But we finally got to face an NHL team in well, hardly.
Well, I mean, we also had a postponed game between both games that we had.
Yeah, it's just hard to get a read on when these games are actually going to happen.
And then we have another postponed game on the 17th. Like, the Leafs are going to be on the road up until the end of the game month. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the game on mom's birthday got postponed because it's in Canada, it's in Toronto, and it's against an American team.
Yeah,
because it's a West Coast one, I wonder whether they'd be able to. So we'll see.
Who knows? But what an ass kicking against Ottawa.
That was such a weird game, too. It literally felt like a preseason game.
Well, you know, it's a weird game when Justin Hall opens the scoring.
Shorthanded. When we short 2 shorthanded goals, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is gonna be a tough one for the Sens.
But how about Mickey?
Man, he looked great. He's great. It's good to see him back on the board, back on the ice. I mean, tough. He looked good in preseason, then you know, tough break with the thumb on the last game, and then to come back and then immediately go back on a break, like that's pretty shitty. And then to come back and still look good, you know, what, 3 goals in his first 3 games. Obviously, last night was tough, but no, he's looked good.
Yeah, and, you know, you love to see it. And one of the things that we would always kind of knock Mikheyev about was his inability to finish. He would have every chance ever. So it was really nice to see him actually finish it in a game. So 2 goals for him, and the second one was an absolute beauty shot.
Snipe, yeah.
So you love to see that. How about our boy, TJ Brody, with a 3-point night?
Man, guy was flying.
Right?
I was flying. Like, where did this come from there, TJ?
Seriously, all of a sudden he's got an offensive burst. And it's funny, they did a post-game interview with him, and they're like, you know, TJ, we don't see a lot of offense from you, and then we see this big outburst. Is this something you've been working on in your game? And he's just like, that's just hockey, man. I'm usually focusing on defense, and, you know, sometimes you get a few bounces and the puck goes in for you. So, and it's funny that it happens in bunches. And he's so right, because it absolutely does. Unless you're Austin Matthews, in which case it's always just punches and there's no off time.
Like, they were like, oh yeah, Austin Matthews hasn't scored in 2 games. Pops 2 goals.
You had to say something.
And the variance in our division as far as games played is actually kind of crazy. Like, you got Tampa, who's played 37 games, which is the most. But then you have Ottawa, who's played the least at 29. So Tampa's played 8 more games than Ottawa.
Jeez.
Actually, and then you have Boston Boston's at 31. So they have 38 points. But, you know, the standings are going to shift a lot here. I mean, Leafs are currently, playoffs started today. We'd face Tampa in the first round, and they'd have home ice. But we also have 4 games in hand on them. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. Then we get into the game against the Edmonton Oilers.
And it was kind of what was really funny about this game was it was Zach Hyman's first time back in Toronto and there were no fans. He had like the most awkward tribute I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know. I honestly, they should give him another one when there is fans, whether it's next year or whenever it happens again. They should do it right, because like it's really shitty.
Yeah. And they had no McDavid, so we really, all we really had to do was shut down Draisaitl, and Draisaitl still managed to score.
He's 26 of the season, like an absolute animal.
Yeah, seriously, I don't.
But how about William Nylander taking over the scoring lead for the team?
Love it. I have him in fantasy.
Who saw that coming?
I did. That's why I picked him in fantasy.
Sure.
Jeez.
Actually, no, I think Matthews overtook it again.
Yeah, because he went off.
It was last night. Yeah.
But this one, love the effort from JT to get the boys on the board early. Mm-hmm. And Brody scores again.
Yeah, that was the weirdest goal too. Like he just shot it into traffic and it like ping ponged into the net.
Sometimes that's what you need, man.
Yeah.
But and then Ilya Mikheyev gets on the board again. And I thought,
oh, another power play goal too.
And of course, immediately after that, you get Jonas Siegel tweeting out, are the Leafs going to be able to keep Mikheyev? I'm like, fuck, man, Toronto media, eh?
Classic Siegel.
3 goals in 2 games and immediately, oh, can we afford to pay him? Oh, pay him 11 mil.
Or do you trade him for a defenseman?
Or do you do that? Maybe you do.
Speaking of, did you hear, see that John Klingberg asked for a trade?
I did, and that's a curious one, but the package they're looking for is hefty.
Yeah. People are saying the Leafs would have to like make it a really big deal and like
give. You'd have to trade like Sandin or Liljegren and a first.
No, they're saying it wasn't that. It's like
or Amirov.
They said Engvall, Engvall, some Dermott, Mrazek, and Robertson, and then we'd be getting Klingberg, Khudobin, and Pavelski back.
That's a big old trade.
Yeah.
But he's got a cap at a 4.25. So, like, where are we fitting that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's why you have to include Mrazek, because he's 3.5.
Then Joseph Wall is just a full-time backup.
No, you're getting Khudobin back.
Oh, I missed that part.
I mean, I really like John Klingberg. I think him and Riley would be kind of dope, but then you could push Justin Hall down the lineup of Brody and Muzzin. Sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah, well, we'll see, because there's a lot of people interested who have way more assets and room than the Leafs.
True.
So
I wonder if he has a no trade or a new movement. Klingberg.
He asked for a trade.
I know, but like, does he have like a list that he cannot, like, does he have any control over it? Basically.
No idea.
Well, doesn't matter.
Maybe, maybe not. I doubt it.
And then, Kerfoot scoring the random, really weird empty netter that was just like the slowest empty netter of all time. And it just ended up working out.
Yeah, no kidding. And then we get into a game against Colorado.
It was 4-1. That's it.
We had way too good of a first period.
Way too good of a first period. That they letting them score after the end of the first period was the first problem. And then as soon as Nick Ritchie scored, I was like, oh, well, this means we're going to lose.
Clearly he didn't like being put on waivers and then clearing waivers.
Yeah, but then also taking a fucking stupid penalty.
Oh, that was a really dumb penalty,
which then cost us the tying goal.
I mean, let's be honest, the reason we lost this was because of dumb penalties.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even though they didn't score a power play goal.
No, they scored one like right after. So like they still used the momentum.
They didn't get any, but also we only got one power play. Thanks, refs, which was some bullshit. There were some absolute calls that should have been made. So kind of dumb that we freaking only got one penalty power play over the game.
And we went one for one.
Yeah. I mean, Jack Campbell played really well, even though he left five goals in.
Yeah, I mean, that OT one, that's tough. He had that five hole was wide open.
Yeah. But, like, guy made 49 saves.
Oh, yeah, the shots against him were stupid, and a lot of that goes because... Yeah.
Or 44 saves.
Yeah, well, that just goes with, you know, taking so many fucking power penalties, rather, and... Like, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to get peppered with shots because you're not spending any time in their end.
It was like, we can't give up that many shots, period. But that was the most shots against we've given up all season. And like, yes, I get the Avalanche are really good, but Mitch not having Mitch Marner shouldn't make that huge of a difference in our team.
No. You know who I thought wasn't bad?
Who's that?
Justin Hall.
He's been a little bit better of late.
Yeah, you know, I didn't notice him all that much, and then I noticed him make a couple pretty good blocks, and I'm like, this is good. This is good. Like,
he seems like he's slowing himself back down.
Yeah, which is what you need, because he was trending in the wrong direction real quick.
I got to say, I really don't like Kyle Clifford. I don't think he should play in the NHL ever again.
I mean, he's not an NHL player.
Like, he literally doesn't do anything. He doesn't even hit anymore. Like, what is your purpose?
Although, him and Simmons on a line is a mean fucking line.
Sure, but, like, at least Simmons hits.
Oh, and Simmons had a beauty assist on the Nick Ritchie goal.
Yeah. You're welcome. I even though Ritchie scored, I preferred like Brett Cini's game over Nick Ritchie's game.
Well, I was very disappointed when Austin Matthews decided to chase Kemper, because I have in fantasy, and I'm like, come on, man, it's just Austin Matthews doing Austin Matthews things.
As he does.
Yeah, but I think that was more so to get the team going. And, well, I guess it worked for them. So who the fuck am I to say otherwise?
I mean, yeah, Francouz played pretty well.
I'm bitter
about
it.
We only had 19 shots against him, though. So, like, we didn't exactly make him work very hard.
No.
I mean, yeah, like, that was... honestly, we were kind of sluggish the whole game. And, you know, it made me think about... fat, like, you know, like Denver is the Mile High City, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe it was the altitude,
because like they looked like they just ran out of gas. They had a great first period and then they would just crash and burn.
And well, that's it. You start taking dumb penalties and lazy penalties.
Also, why is Cam McCarr so fucking good?
Seriously, he's real good.
Like, what the hell? Like, 15 goals already. And that was an absolute freaking snipe. Like, that goal was disgusting. Like, he like turned around, did like 180, and then snipes going opposite direction. Like that's right. Crazy.
Well, because we're just getting back into it, we're going to do a bud and dud for all these games. But like collectively.
A bud and dud for all these games? So that was... what we're doing anyways.
Yeah.
Okay.
So who's your bud and who's your dud?
Austin Matthews is the bud. Austin Matthews is the bud. I don't really need to explain it, but I will. The guy is just a goal scoring machine. He's got 22 goals already, and he missed a bunch of games. Like, he's only 4 goals back of Draisaitl, who's played the whole season. He's just a machine. So Austin Matthews.
I'm going to go with William Nylander.
Good pick. I mean, he was on a roll there for like, he had like a 15 game point streak or something.
Yeah. Well, even like the Ottawa game, he had a pair of goals. He's just been consistently producing. And
you love almost like it. That contract is worth every fucking penny.
Now it's a value contract.
God, people were so mad for so long about that fucking contract. And it's like, yo, shut your mouth. I'm just saying, you know, I supported Bill from day one. Never doubted him for a second. But yeah, good pick.
Who's your dud?
My dud. My dad. You pick a dad first.
Okay, Nick Ritchie. I mean, this one's an easy pick. I mean, you got waived and cleared.
Yeah.
Nobody wants you for free. I'm not done.
Right.
Because he scored the power play goal. Yes, that was great. And yes, Wayne Simmonds made that happen. But in fucking moments later, you took a stupid ass penalty. Like,
really so stupid.
Avoidable. And I think that was one of the turning points. Like, what were you doing? Pushing that guy over in the middle of the...
You cross-checked him into Riley.
Yeah. Where the puck was nowhere near him.
Like, it was so dumb.
And I'm like, that just undid your goal. And... that's why you cleared waivers.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mine is actually going to be Travis Dermott.
Interesting. Elaborate.
I just have noticed that he's trying too hard. He's like doing too much. Like he tries all these little moves and he's not making the simple play. And therefore, it leads to giveaways or just moments where he's ends up getting pinned in his own zone because he's trying to do too much and he gives the puck away one way or makes a silly pass or doesn't look before trying a breakout or doesn't carry it when he should. It's just small mistakes that someone of his age shouldn't be making anymore. These are mistakes that, like, if Sandin makes them, I have a much longer leash because he's really young, literally his first full season in the NHL. I don't have that leash with Dermott anymore. Like, figure it out, dude. You're 24 years old. You're literally entering your prime. Like, you need to have figured it out by now. You're on he's on a 1-year contract. Like, literally, this is his make or break year. If he doesn't make it this year, like, he's just going to be gone. Like, Leafs just won't sign him again.
And who knows, might not even stay in the league.
Exactly. So, he's got to figure it out. So that would be my dad.
That's fair.
Yeah, because I think he's been making Sandy look bad, to be honest.
It's nice to have Sandin back. Like, if there's one benefit that came from all these postponed games is we got all our buds back.
Yeah, well, and gave Jack Campbell a nice long rest.
Yeah, which he needed. Because, you know, his back must be hurting.
Well, yeah, man. Somehow Mrazek got more rest. Because he's had rest all season.
Are you serious?
Fucking useless. Oh, my God.
All right, Kian. Your fantasy game breakers for last week and, I guess, the double week.
Last week and the double week?
Well, just the double week was last week, so.
Right. Okay. So... my fantasy performers, my best was Kirill the Thrill Kaprizov with 6 points, 2 goals, 4 assists. Yeah, power play point is 6 shots and a goal, 3 hits. Pretty solid for the man himself.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, I had 2 guys tie for the most points. And that was Matthew Tkachuk and Alex Killorn. Matthew Tkachuk with 2 goals, 3 assists, plus 5, a power play point, 10 shots on goal, 6 hits, 2 blocks. Killorn with 5 apples.
Nice.
A power play point. He had 11 shots on goal, 11 hits, and 2 blocks. So pretty fucking solid. And I got to give a shout out to Mackenzie Weegar from Florida.
Fucking he had, Florida, man.
He had 4 points, and he's a defenseman. Also had 10 hits and 8 blocks.
Nice.
So like, he was huge for me. And I pulled out the comeback win at the beginning of the first week. I was down 12-0. I came back to win 7-5. Let's go.
See, I had the opposite happen. I was up 11-1 and ended up losing 8-5 because I had all these postponements. So I had some guys who like didn't even play. But like my sleeper pick would have been Gustav Forsling from Florida as well. He had 2 assists plus 4, but he has 7 shots, 6 hits, and 5 blocks.
I had Forsling earlier in the season.
Solid.
Yeah, he was just okay, so I dropped him.
Well, I already have 1 goal today, so hopefully I can get a few more points here and catch you somehow.
I say no. This is a very tight game, though. Like, if we, what, it's 7-6 right now, me versus you. And sorry, bud, but Jason Robertson has 5 points for me for this week, and he has been an absolute stud.
Troy Terry's got 4 points for me this week. He's been my best.
Well, I also have Nazem Kadri at 5 points, who has been like the best pick of my whole draft, aside from Austin Matthews.
Well, actually, you're also lucky you caught me in a week while Kirill Kaprizov's on the IR.
Perfect.
Freaking Kirill the thrill. Sebastian Aho's got the 3 assists, though, which is nice.
Yeah, but you also have to remember that as I mentioned earlier, I have Kemper. And last night, after he got yanked, his 12.13 goals against average was locked in, and his 6.25 save percentage. I'm like,
well, see, the real struggle for me is that a lot of my defensemen, all their games got postponed. So all my hits, blocks are all gone. So I'm not even going to touch those categories because my guys who get all those points didn't play at all. They had like one game on the week. So yeah, whatever. These postponements are still kicking me in the nuts, but hopefully we get back to some sense of normality here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and I've, as the commissioner, I have actively said nothing. Because like, I don't know, what do you want me to do? I cannot do a damn thing about it. It sucks that I like, fuck, I had like, of my 16 players, I had 11 on IR slots because of COVID. I'm like, well,
same.
Everybody's getting fucked here. Like, and unfortunately, it kind of screwed me over a few weeks ago because on the Saturdays when games started getting postponed, and any chance I had at a comeback were my Saturday games, and they all got postponed, and I ended up losing. I'm like, fucking bullshit.
Same thing happened to me, man. Like,
and it's so frustrating, and I think it's really frustrating because there's obviously money on the line for this pool, and it does kind of make you question the integrity of the game. But it's beyond my control. Like, I can't do shit.
What's kind of silly though is that like, with all these big postponements, some other weeks that would have normally been quiet are now going to be really loud weeks.
Yeah.
Especially like, consider they had the gap that was built into the schedule for the Olympics. That's now just going to get filled with games.
Oh, yeah. But on top of that, some of the postponements are going to be way later in the season. There's a chance that those postponements don't happen until the fantasy season's done.
Well, honestly, a lot of it comes down to the Canadian government, when they can get fans back in the building.
Yeah. Because that's
so we'll see when these Omicron cases start to come back down. They say we're going to hit our peak in mid-January, so if we're on the downtrend, by the time the end of January comes, we could see some reschedules there for that, you know, second right around your birthday, you know.
Yeah, that'd be nice to
imagine your game got rescheduled on your birthday.
That'd be wild,
right?
I don't think there's a chance in hell that I'm going to be able to go to a game for my birthday.
Why not?
Because it's a month away. You really think the Canadian government's going to figure all this out in a month?
A lot can change in a month, man.
You have too much faith in our government.
I don't think it's anything to do with the government. I think it just has to do with the virus itself playing and running its course.
I guess. But anyway, I I'm not overly optimistic. I just hope that we still get Leaf games so we can keep doing episodes and keep talking about the buds, the boys, the beauties,
the Maple Leafs. I guess we just got to make sure we never forget. You know, even during the tough times, even when we blow a 4-1 lead.
Emotional damage.
It'll keep happening. We can't ever forget. Go Leafs, go.